things do have a pretty checkered history in terms of actually getting things accomplished. That's not to say that, you know, you should be totally cynical about this, because I think there's, you know, it's a targeted effort, and I think there's a some fairly broad level of support for attacking these trade and business functions this way. But these things are very difficult to do. They involve messing around with committee structures on Capitol Hill, and that is a very tough thing to overcome. And the president alluded to this himself when he said how difficult it was with Homeland Security. And it's just very difficult to get people's attention focused on these kind of issues over the long haul, especially because in the short term, historically, they cost money rather than save money.
That part of it, too, is an element that I don't know if enough people focus on, so I'm glad you brought it up. There is a perception, I think, about streamlining and consolidation that savings happen immediately, and that's not reality, is it?
No. Historically, that has not been the case. And in many cases, when these reorganizations have been done, the idea was to improve the operations and to improve the structure and to make it more efficient over the long haul, but not to save money. It's very difficult to get money out of it. And I think especially if you're not going to take immediate action to downsize, but rather do this by attrition over some period of years.
You and I have talked a fair amount about what agencies may or may not look like as we work through the budget issues that agencies are going to face for the foreseeable future, now it appears. How do some of those ideas that other people have proposed fit with what you're seeing in the president's remarks last week and then this announcement about these 11 agencies that are in this pilot program?
I think it's all part of an effort. There's definitely on all sides of the spectrum an interest in appearing to be working to cut government down to size. And you're going to see that out of the Obama administration. And that's right now the interesting thing politically was that he's really sort of put Republicans on the defensive about this, that, you know, the onus is on them now to come up with something else if they're going to take the position that this isn't the right thing to do or it doesn't go far enough or whatever. But that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
The political dynamic here is really interesting to me because of a couple things. First of all, the president, the way he outlined it last week, I don't think anybody would have an easy time arguing with it until he got to the place where he said he was going to do it with or without the help of Congress. That looks a little bit weird, I think. And the other issue is, this looks to me the same as the political dynamic when it comes to entitlement programs. And you and I have talked about this in a budget context before, Tom. And that is, everybody is satisfied if the other guy's agency is reorganized. But don't touch mine. Don't touch my entitlements. And don't touch the agency that services me. I'm thinking about this from a citizen or taxpayer perspective and not from an agency, employee, or congressional perspective. So if I am a farmer, don't mess with the Department of Agriculture office that I deal with in my home state, go ahead and do it to somebody else. So as long as we continue to stay in this do it to somebody else mode, none of this is going to happen, is it?
No, I think that's right. I mean, people don't want the stuff touched that's in their backyard. And President Obama is very limited when he talks about doing things with or without the help of Congress. He's very limited in what he can do on his own. And interestingly, some of the things that he can do on his own, he could do without having some sort of formal restructuring. You know, he's this notion of having one website for someone to go to get any of their concerns addressed. Well, you could do that without formally restructuring the agencies, just forcing them to work together to address these issues. And he may very well do that.
All of that stuff just channeled through USA.gov.
Right. I mean, I think there is ultimately going to be a question is, you know, he talks about National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that that shouldn't be in the Commerce Department, that should be in the Interior Department. At the end of the day, who really cares where it is? I mean, what matters is, does it do its job, and can it work together well with the other agencies it needs to work with to do its job? And some of that, just, it doesn't really matter what department you're in.
That concept is one, Tom, that, to be honest with you, in this whole conversation, I'm not sure I've heard anybody bring it up before, and yet it makes a lot of sense. What difference does it make? I guess that's something that folks really need to investigate, because that I could see as being the hard part to explain to the average person, the average citizen, is, why should I care what whether it's in this or that agency?
Right.
Especially if it's going to cost a lot of money to get it there.
Right, especially in the short term. You know what's interesting is, you know who used to actually talk, at least sort of behind the scenes in those terms, was Al Gore when they were doing the reinventing government thing, which did do, you know, they tried to do all kinds of different things. But they've specifically shied away from reorganization and restructuring for the very reason that they thought it would just be very time-consuming and ultimately not result in real change happening. And they used to take the position, hey, what's all about is effectiveness and making these organizations work together, and we don't really care what the, you know, what the boxes on the organization chart look like.